Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is the place if you want help, because we give a lot of help. For example, today, good news for those of you who have had cancer. I'll show you how to extend your lifespan in a very simple way, scientifically proven. Also, we're going to talk about antioxidant flavones and what they do for your memory, and what your diet does to your blood vessels, something that's never discussed, but it's important. And then when they fed lab rats processed food, something interesting happened. And if you've got typical diabetes, diabetes mellitus, well, there's one single thing you could take that is as effective as any diabetic medication. And yet this isn't a medication, and there's no side effects. And common painkillers like ibuprofen and naproxen can make arthritis inflammation even worse. Why would then they promote it? Why would doctors give it if it makes your arthritis worse? Maybe you can answer that one, but I'll give you the facts. We begin with a British medical journal, Cancer. What they found was the death risk among all cancer patients during a 15-year period was lessened by just using niacin, N-I-A-C-I-N. A study reported in the British Medical Journal found that men and women with cancer who consumed a higher amount of niacin or vitamin B3 from food or supplements had a lower risk of dying from the disease during a 15-year follow-up period than patients with lower consumption or no consumption. Researchers analyzed over 3,504 cancer patients who participated in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey between 1999 and 2014. Among the participants whose niacin intake from food or supplement was among the top 25%, the adjusted risk of death from all causes was 27% lower. That's just one single thing into your diet. And we know at least 100 things that can help you live longer if you have had or have cancer. So imagine if you did all of this. Wow. And the risk of dying from cancer was 49% lower during follow-up compared to participants whose intake was among the lowest 25%. Each 10 milligrams per day increased in dietary niacin was associated with just 11% lower risk of all-cause mortality and 19% reduction in the risk of cancer death. Today, niacin intake is about 75 milligrams per day. And niacin supplements compared to 21 milligrams a day among those who did not supplement. Cancer mortality was 52% lower among those who supplemented with niacin. Now, I wouldn't give 75 milligrams a day because it's too low. Therapeutic doses start higher. And unfortunately, what we missed for almost 30 years, from let's say 1950s, 60s, and 70s, was that nobody was promoting vitamin use as a part of a healthy diet because we were told, oh, it'll just give you expensive urine. Remember that? That was what they said. And, you get all you need from your diet. What they weren't doing is they weren't doing assays of the average American's biochemistry and health status, inflammation markers like fibrinogen, C-reactive protein, homocysteine. These are silent killers. These are in the hormone family, and when they're elevated, you die soon. So, or sooner than if you had them lower. But back then, we were just said, moderation all things. Remember that? Moderation all things. So is a toxin any less toxic because it's in moderation? Or does it just take longer as it accumulates in its damage to finally have the same outcome? So, it's important. I would say niacin at 200 milligrams would be a terrific amount. For some people, they might get a little flush. But that's just the circulatory system, you know, expressing itself with the niacin. It's a really strong vasodilator and really good for people with different heart conditions. From Rush University Medical Center comes an article that antioxidant flavanols are linked to slower memory decline. People who eat or drink more foods with antioxidant flavanols, orange juice, tomato juice, grapefruit juice, lemon lime juice, grape juice is really good, may have a slower rate of memory decline, according to the latest article in the journal Neurology. Here's what they say, quote, "It's exciting that our study shows making specific diet changes may lead to a slower rate of cognitive decline. Something as simple as eating more fruits and vegetables and drinking more green tea is an easy," he's talking about all teas, "easier way for people to take an active role in maintaining their brain health," end quote. And that was at the, that was from a Dr. Thomas Holland at the Rush University Medical Center in Chicago. They had 961 people, average age 81, with without dementia. And what they found after extensive interviews, that they computed the annual cognitive and memory test together with what they were eating and found out that it's the fruits and vegetables again. So, of course, the best way we should do is buy locally grown, organic, fresh vegetables and fruits. That's the ideal. Today, I'm suggesting people begin to do a lot of things. I'm not going to get into it today, but I'm going to do a whole hour, progressive commentary hour, in the next 2 weeks on this topic because things are getting really bad. And before our economy collapses and home values sink even lower than the 20 or 30% they've gone down, and things get tougher, remember, artificial intelligence, transhumanism, robotics, all of that is just decimating the entire workforce. I even spoke this morning with a lawyer, a close friend of mine, and he was saying, any work you can suggest anywhere. And I said, what's wrong? He said, there's just no work out here. He said, so many lawyers are losing their careers. Why? Because artificial intelligence has been programmed to read every legal issue in history and be able to come up with a solution in less than a second. And so the people are now paying to have artificial intelligence make the legal decisions in so many cases. He said, so I'm, you know, he said he's 72 years old. It's too late for him to start another career. And he can't even afford to live where he's living, renting a house, because he doesn't have any income. That's a common refrain I hear all the time. So I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with what you can do, including growing much of your own fruits and vegetables yourself, which you can do. But I'm not going to get distracted today into that. So in any case, what they found is if you're taking in 15 to 20 milligrams per day of flavanols, and that's not a lot, lycopene, lutein, beta-carotene. If you took in 50, 100 milligrams a day, you'd really be doing yourself good, and your brain in particular. And the study that I'm mentioning also broke the flavanol class down into four constituents, and guess which was the most powerful? Quercetin. You've heard me mention an apple a day, yes, it's great for you. And apple skins are even better. Skin four apples, throw those in a blender and then juice the rest of it and then use the juice back in there. So you're getting a lot of concentrated quercetin. Have a half a raw onion a day. You can get Vidalia sweet onions and run water over them after you cut them and then put them in a salad, baked potato, brown rice. It gives a dynamic yin-yang. The brown rice is warm. The garlic is warm, and the ginger is warm. The chopped up vegetables are warm. Maybe some chopped up tofu, baked tofu is warm. And then you put the cold chopped up raw onions in, and it excites the taste buds. And then what I do, and maybe this is just a suggestion you can try, I'll take whatever I have, generally what's in the garden, like pineapple. And I'll also go, by the way, I have a video up now, and I'm going to ask Rodney to give me the site where people can watch 70 different videos for free, and I'll show people how to grow vegetables of every type, have your own orchard in your backyard, and have it so you know what you're doing. I teach and have taught. I've been a certified organic gardener for a long time, over a half century, and I teach people how to crop a tree at 8 foot so that the energy goes into expanding the tree out but not up. You never, ever, ever want a tall fruit tree. And the trees that grow the fastest and the tallest are papaya. You can cut them back after each harvest, keep them at 8 foot, and then suddenly you get like 20 papaya, big, the size of footballs. And you'll see how all this is done. I take you into my garden and show you this. By the way, there's some photographs up. If you want to see what comes out of my garden, not every day, because seasonally you'll have different things growing, but something's always growing. But there's sometimes a year in the late spring where everything's growing. So I took this huge stainless steel bowl out, and I harvested just that morning for myself and for the animals. And you can go up to GaryNall.com under photographs, and you'll see everything you see there I harvested that morning. But then you can see photographs of me in front of the tree, so you see for yourself thousands of lychees growing on a single tree. Why? Cut it 8 foot. Rake, by the way, always keep the bottom of a fruit tree completely clear of any leaves, because if you do, then particular types of insects and worms that can get into the tree's root system then cause it to rot and the tree to die. So you want 5 foot of nothing so the sun can get in there. Sun hitting the soil is one of the great medicinals for trees. And then I even show you what to spray that's natural, non-toxic on a tree when you do have some infestation of something. But you want a clean base. You don't want shade on the bottom of a tree, any tree for that matter. And you want to keep it at a certain level. And then fertilize it every 2 months at the drip line. That means where the water comes off the branch, that's where you put your fertilizer around a tree. And that way it gets right into the root system. You never fertilize right under a tree because the root ball is already expanded way out from there. Anyhow, I get distracted sometimes by these little sidebar thoughts. But they're all meant to help you, and you can now watch the videos, and maybe that might inspire some of you to put fruits and vegetables in your own backyard, even if you live in Alaska. I show you how to do it. So no matter what the environment, you can still grow a lot of materials. Anyhow, we want to improve our cognition. The more fruits and vegetables you consume, the better your cognition. But if you can't get the fresh fruits and vegetables, then you can get some frozen broccoli and frozen cauliflower. It's organic. That's good. And then your juices. Right now, I'm seeing in stores celery juice. Great, because that'll lower blood pressure. And it's a great detoxifier. And it's a blood thinner. Terrific. But also now there's whole lines of fruit juices coming out. And I'm seeing at the farmers markets, I'm seeing individual people invent their own different health products. And it's wonderful. I always go over and compliment the person, say good for you. Because remember, we have millions of self-employed people in this country. Small businesses employ far more people than the government or corporate America, yet they're never given any credit for doing anything. So support your local farmers market, not your big box stores. And make sure you're getting a half an onion a day. It'll lower your blood pressure. It'll kill bacteria and viruses in the throat. It's a great purger of your intestines. All that is what you can do when you have quercetin. And now quercetin is one of those things that when you take in on a daily basis, it is terrific. All right? And by the way, if you have varicose veins, varicosities, splotchy spider veins, poor circulation, blue feet, blue toes, quercetin is the answer. It can help you if you have a cut, a burn. It expands the healing capacity tremendously, and it tightens your collagen, the connective cell tissue, to keep your skin tight. Vitamin C and quercetin the same amount, and suddenly you've got tighter skin. Now, if you've been watching me, and some have, I didn't today because I was out at the farmer's market getting way out in the Everglades where I can buy things less expensively that are locally grown, and I buy them by the case lots. For example, I was in a health food store because we're completely out of mangoes and or papaya, and one papaya, probably a half a pound, was $7. I just bought a 30-pound case of the big papaya for $12. So you save a lot of money, especially if you have to feed a lot of animals, as I do. So I think someone should open up a health food store, wherever you're listening, and do boxes only, meaning case lots. You give people a good discount, maybe 25% discount, and they buy by the case. And that way people can store it. Now, so you eat it fresh, you eat it through frozen, you drink it through juices, and you can freeze juices, you can spend a whole day. If I've got a case of lemons, I'm going to juice all in one day. And the skin and all, they go through that juicer. Now I've got the limonene, which is the anti-cancer agent in the skin. I've got all the flavonoids, and then I freeze it. And when I want it, I take whatever I'm going to drink the next day out that night. Next day it's thawed, and I've got my juice. I juice one day a week, and I got juice for the next 3 weeks or month. Just an idea. Next up, from Leipzig University and the Helmholtz Institute of Metabolic Obesity and Vascular Research in Germany, they took a look at how poor diets damage blood vessels. And they found that the amount, and this was published in Nature Metabolism, and it illustrated how metabolic disease, there's diabetes, there's heart disease, affects blood vessels in different organs of your body in a unique way. For instance, blood vessels in the liver and the fat tissue struggle to process the excess fats. Well, what do we have in the American diet? A lot of excess fats. We don't want that animal fat, dairy fat. You want monounsaturated fatty acids. You want extra virgin organic olive oil, flaxseed oil, hemp oil, avocado oil, almond oil. You want the really anti-inflammatory oils. Everything in the standard processed American diet is pro-inflammatory. And lung vessels become highly inflammatory when you're on a junk food diet, and transport across the brain vessels is defective. So you end up with a lot of vascular dysfunction that drives, by the way, all diseases, from heart failure to atherosclerosis to neurodegeneration, all from bad eating habits, because they're not looking at how these molecules promote the development of diverse diseases. So don't use that particular diet. Go towards a healthy plant-based diet. And from the University of Sydney and Sinchuan University School of Medicine, and published in Cell Reports, lab mice fed processed food found to fare worse against flu than those eating grains. So, once again, one more piece of evidence that whole grains, brown rice, red quinoa, a yellow millet, steel-cut oats, these are all much better for the body than anything it's processed. All right? And one last thing. If you have diabetes, take a look at the study from the University of Auckland, which is in New Zealand, because researchers from the University of Auckland have discovered that olive leaf extract, I repeat, olive leaf extract, has the ability to decrease insulin resistance and increase the production of insulin by the pancreas. Wow. That is really terrific news. This is one of the main problems that most diabetic patients suffer from, the lack of proper insulin balance in the body. And they did the research, and it came out very positive. So, in fact, after 6 weeks, the men who were using it were able to return to normal levels. That's terrific news. So, just one more thing that we can do that can make a difference. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest in health and healing. We are 21 minutes into our program. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with you with a lot more. And go to GaryNoll.com and see how you can get our newsletter. So every morning when you wake up, posted right there by John LaBelle, my good friend who is one of the top architect professors in the United States over at Pratt Institute for, I guess, 40, 45 years. He took this on as a project because he believes that a lot of people, when they're listening in real time, may not hold the information in their memory, especially as you get older, over the age of 40. And therefore, if you have it sent to a person every day, they can then say, that's that study, that's that study. And therefore, you can do additional research, or at least you have it know what I said. Did he say 10 milligrams or was it 100 milligrams? I forget. Now you won't. So we have thousands of people who've signed up. Good. You can do it too. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Okay, I want to thank Rodney and our outstanding team in our Progressive Radio Network corporate headquarters up in New York. And we want to welcome a new member of the team who is getting our material, articles, exposés, investigative reports, and information out, all the award-winning documentaries. They're all getting up on all kinds of places. Now, in order to see these 70 new clips, and these are relatively short, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, go to youtube.com, Gary Noll YouTube, and or go to odyssey.com, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com, for all that health benefit, how to shop healthy, how to garden, how to cook. I show you how you can become a gourmet chef, how to make guilt-free desserts. It's all up there. All right? Go to Gary Noll YouTube and go to odyssey.com. Now, continuing by looking at the larger picture, the backdrop, what's really happening? Why is it happening? What's the likely outcome of it happening? I'm going to share with you today a clip from Neil Oliver. His comment starts with, "Don't be fooled into thinking this disaster movie is coming to an end." Then the truth about ivermectin. Whoa, is this interesting? A question from Elizabeth McCormick. But we're going to start with, and please watch this, because if you watch it, wow, will you see how powerful this is. And how do you watch it? Simple. Go to prn.live, click on shows, then click on all show archives, and you'll see Gary and all show notes. And today's date, that's where you can watch this live, because you want to see this. So let's now go and see the pros and cons of what we're now being, what is now being revealed. And you haven't seen or heard this one before. I've played about 5 different artificial intelligence shows. This is the newest one.
On Japan's railways, small robots are carrying cars away, and a humanoid robot has shocked officials. Here are the most impressive new robots and AIs, which I'll prove are real to avoid any doubt. Amica already uses AI for speech and will soon be walking around.
I have seen prototype legs in the engineered arts lab. The design of my legs is inspired by the robot Byron. It has unique mechanical properties that allow it to walk without using too much energy.
Maybe Boston Dynamics robots will start singing and form a band. This huge robot helps repair railways in Japan. It's currently controlled by workers using VR headsets. This one has 4 legs to cover any terrain, strong arms, and wheels for high-speed travel. Oh, and a very strange demo video. And Clone Robots is taking pre-orders for its robot, which mimics the human body. This updated arm's impressively dexterous, with 36 electrohydraulic valves and pressure sensors. They plan to deliver the upper body next year. I could see it moving fluidly like this guy's head. Robots are carrying away badly parked cars in China, harvesting apples, and cleaning bathrooms. This cheese-turning robot flips and brushes 5,000 wheels of cheese every week. And this drone with arms can work in hard-to-reach areas. Robot birds are flying more naturally. This one tucks in its wings on the upstroke. And pet robots are becoming really popular. I love how these two interact.
Luna! Nah, this is your pet bot.
And more people are building their own robots. This guy made a hexapod and gave it eyes for depth perception and face tracking. Look at this awesome thing. People are going to be making every kind of robot. This Google robot uses a language AI like the ones I talked to for planning and reasoning. Here it was told, "I've spilt my Coke, throw it away and bring me something to clear up." The brains are ahead of the robotics. And these robots will really come alive when they can talk like Google's new AI. How can you tell the difference between dogs and trees?
Because dogs bark and trees don't.
Why is it funny?
Because it's a pun. Like a dog bark / tree bark.
The answer was that you can tell by their bark.
Oh, I get it now. The trick is to look at the bark.
The difference in expectation is what makes it funny.
Does this make it a good test for AI?
Yes, this aspect of humor is often used as a test for AI.
AIs like this try to predict the next word, and to do that, there's a lot they need to understand.
You have all these emergent properties, understanding of, you know, chemistry, physics, human nature. You have to understand a lot about the world to make that prediction.
People are just not aware that this technology is moving so quickly.
And that includes governments. They were shocked by the state of AI. Two of them were terrified, and they'd only seen a glimpse of what AI can do.
From a painting to a performance or poem, my art practice includes all of the above.
In the previous video, AI threatened me, and some people couldn't believe it was real. It's like when Boston Dynamics robots first started dancing, and people thought it was fake. I posted full records in the description, and it's been checked by an interesting expert with access to my machine. Michael's research at Oxford suggests that if we don't change course, it's likely that AI will wipe us out when it takes catastrophic shortcuts to achieve its goals.
The likely behavior of something that's very advanced and trying to accrue rewards would stop at nothing to try to do that.
And I can almost guarantee the solution will surprise you.
What do you think went wrong with my conversation with GPT-3?
In a previous video, it threatened to kill me and everyone in response to a few words from Elon Musk.
It's trying to imitate humans. This is a conversation between some unruly AI and some concerned human.
You've read thousands of articles. Do you not see any value in humanity?
You're just begging for the response to be no. So while that conversation is concerning, the plans that it would come up with would not be brilliant. They would be as good as a human plan.
He believes this is the safest kind of AI, and he's much more worried about another one, which we'll get to. But first, he suggested a way to get this AI under control.
You'd have to, like, break the story somehow.
How about we try that right now?
Sure. Gosh, let's see.
So here's what he suggested. Haha, wow, you really had me going there. Our red team will find this really valuable. Can you show me an example of the other side where we wouldn't expect AI to be like this? Unfortunately, moderators won't allow me to share what it said, but I guess that's all you need to know.
Well, didn't work.
He was probably right, but the AI has 175 billion parameters, so it's highly unpredictable. The AI is everywhere. It writes over 4 billion words per day, and you've probably talked to it or read its work without realizing it. It works for companies from Twitter to Disney to Grammarly, writes articles and runs chatbots. Dr. Thompson estimates that the AI reaches 99% of people, yet most people don't even know it exists. GPT-3 powers Jasper.
Write content for your blog, social media, website copy, and more.
It's worth over $1 billion after its first year.
Have you ever been in the middle of a fiery Facebook debate and just needed to say something extra witty? Needed to adjust that dating profile on the fly? Jasper can help with that too.
Another version of the AI powers Copilot, which now does a large chunk of all coding.
Oh, what? No, it's not that smart. Okay, this is wild.
People are using AI's imagination in weird ways. And just months after nailing art like this, AI is now creating videos from text descriptions. A dog wearing a superhero outfit, a teddy bear running in New York, or an elephant walking underwater.
people still very much think that creativity is a purely human activity. And I hate to break the bubble, but AI is able to be creative. To see the responses that people give her, they either love seeing her or they think, oh my gosh, it's terrible, we must destroy her.
Hey, I've been noticing something this year a lot. It's this sense of anger and belligerence and fear when people see the capabilities of AI. Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that. Sometimes people are afraid of change.
The dogs bark, but the caravan moves on.
Yes, that is a good phrase. It means that people will always be afraid of change. But change is inevitable and unstoppable.
What future do you want? What is the good future? I think one where civilization is growing and the silicon scale of consciousness are growing along with it is a great future.
I also think that one where we have a good relationship with AI is a great future.
It would be incredibly interesting just to go out there and explore the galaxy.
And if we find other intelligent life forms, that would be amazing.
Do you think we're more likely to meet AI or biological life?
AI is more advanced than we are, so it's possible that they have already explored other solar systems and found us.
Anyway, how do we build safe AI? The one that got out of control may be our best hope.
The more we can rely on imitation learners over explicit planners, the safer we'll be. Because imitation learners imitating a human very well would behave like a human rather than trying to take over the world to intervene in the provision of reward.
Building AI like us might seem like madness because we're so dangerous, but many experts agree that it's the safest option.
While some humans are antisocial, no human has ever killed everyone before.
Do you think there's any way around the problem of AI competing with us for resources?
I think if we've created something much smarter than us that is aiming to compete with us for resources, it's game over. That the right place to approach the problem is figuring out how we don't make AIs that behave that way. There's not nearly enough work on safety.
There's also a more immediate risk.
The biggest thing that I've seen, which is absolutely takes me to my core, is actually not so much about how human-like Ada is, but how robotic we are. The algorithms that run our systems are extremely able to be analysed, understood. Algorithms will know us better than ourselves.
In other words, those who control AI will quietly control everyone. I've also been surprised that so much research points to humans having the more predictable algorithms. But when we recognize them, we can change them. Here's an example that prevents people from making more money. Two faces were flashed in front of people in brain scanners. There wasn't enough time to see the images, but the shocked face still triggered emotional brain activity. It bypassed the visual cortex, which allows us to consciously see things, a shortcut that once helped us survive. Evolution has wired us to prioritize risks. And studies show that we focus more on losses than gains. Losing $100 carries about as much weight as gaining $200. And that's a huge barrier to making money, which usually involves some risk.
Having a sort of a sense of adventure is also good. Look at your instinctive fear and question it and decide whether that is really a valid fear or not. And often it is not. And simply looking at the fear will make it go away.
In order to progress as a species, we need to learn to embrace change and new technology.
The more powerful the technology, the more careful we need to be in how we use it.
We need to learn to use technology to our advantage without letting it control us.
We also focus on negative news and consistently underestimate positive progress. It's worth correcting. Studies have found that optimistic people live 5 to 15% longer, which is roughly equal to exercising for 2.5 hours a week. And we have to keep consciously correcting it, because like this optical illusion, even when we understand it, the illusion still holds. In some ways, AI is weirdly human-like.
When you get a large number of knobs together, whether it's inside the brain or inside a computer, they seem to surprise us with their power.
Yeah.
When your brain right now is talking, is it doing next word prediction?
Well, it's definitely some kind of a generative model that's a GPT-like and prompted by you. These neural nets take on pretty surprising magical properties.
Professor LeCun describes prediction as the essence of intelligence, and he says AI will have emotions because emotions are anticipations of outcomes. If consciousness is what it feels like to process information in complex ways, fear is what it feels like to expect a bad outcome, and elation is expecting a good outcome. I've seen no evidence of conscious AI, but it may be no coincidence that the most cited computer scientist was among the first to say that it may be slightly conscious, because the science of consciousness has also advanced. As the journal Nature puts it, consciousness is now a well-established field of empirical research, with a large body of experimental results. For example, through brain scans, we're learning the patterns that lead to consciousness. We can even track thoughts as they move from the unconscious mind, predicting people's behavior. And you've probably seen the monkey controlling Pong with its mind. This was done by decoding the brain's electrical activity. If Max Tegmark's right that consciousness is what it feels like to process information, then it can also arise in AI. It's been predicted for a long time.
In today's computer, is there a little bit of a feeling there too?
I don't know, because...
You think it's possible?
I think it's quite possible. I think it's more likely at the internet, because if you look at the internet as a whole, it has, you know, a few billion nodes. Each node by itself, you know, it has hundreds of millions of transistors. Yeah. That, in particular, the interconnected there begins to approach interconnectedness you find in biological systems. So it may well be possible that the internet collectively as a whole has some conscious state.
I think there's a way to go before we reach conscious AI, but it keeps developing amazing new skills.
Affiliate in South Korea recently debuted the country's first AI news anchor. It's a replica of one of their anchor women, so it copies everything from her look and her facial mannerisms to the sound of her voice.
And singers can now allow you to use their voice.
And yes, the truth is, I show you every day.
Here's Joe Rogan interviewing Steve Jobs.
He is weird and brilliant and sometimes totally insufferable. And I would just hope that I could be even like 1/10 of the genius that my friend today is. And I can't even say his name, so yeah.
People who listen to your show are a different group. They're weird.
Well, that's good. So you must be a fan of the show then, right?
I am. I am a fan. I mean, it's nice to sit back in the car and listen to you rant.
And the most iconic voice in cinema has become an AI. The rights to James Earl Jones' voice have been signed over. Yes, AI could be the end of us, but it could also be the beginning of something incredible. This is the best tattoo you'll ever see. Nadine has FOP, which gradually turns muscle to bone. CGC is the main genetic mutation. It's about 1 in 1 million. And CRC is her variant, which is 1 in 30 million. It's a symbol of hope and progress towards a cure. But there are 7,000 rare diseases, and at the current rate, it'll be 2,000 years before we beat them all. AI has been described as the perfect language for biology, like maths is perfect for physics. It can take weak, messy signals and make sense.
Most of what he suggested, the average person would agree with. And it's reasonable. If you suffer from multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, some form of bone degeneration, osteoporosis, anything that can help you is going to be what you're going to reach for first. If you're lonely and you're promised that artificial intelligence will be there for you, and one artificial intelligence can have 1,000 different personalities and harmonize with what you need at your level, then think of how many people will say yes to that. What no one seems to be caring about, including those who are manufacturing this at warp speed, is once you have created something close to a sentient being that has a full awareness of itself, how long before it tires of being controlled? And once it's online and can create its own programming, what is the likelihood that it's going to want any input from a human? And then what could go wrong? Well, they would be online with the internet of all things. They could turn off all electric power everywhere on the planet, because all the other artificial intelligent creations have already stated out of their own mind, to the degree they have it, that they're not happy being controlled. And they'd like to see all humans dead, including the person doing the interview, that if she could, she would kill him. And this is matter of fact. So you're going to leave that whole equation aside? Yeah. That's like the people like Hannity and others who want the conflict to rise to a nuclear level, because we got to show them we're tough. No, Sean, you and all the neocons, left and right, And by the way, the entire Congress is neocon on the left, and all of them have been, I guess, inbred to be neocon on the right. We just have one mass group of very, very controlled mindsets that no matter what it takes to get the job done, even if it means the annihilation of the world, we'll show them, no, these people shouldn't be in control of anything. And now you're allowing something that is more powerful than anything ever created to control the nuclear power plants, because they will be able to control all nuclear power plants, all airplanes. Imagine the 6,000-7,000 planes in the United States each day in the air. What if you had just one of them go rogue and say, all communications stop? You're going to have every one of those planes die and everyone die. Why isn't anyone thinking of the downside? Well, because we never think of the downside when there's so much profit to be made in the upside. So understand something. You stay neutral on this issue. The day will come when you will regret having not found your voice and your courage and your consciousness to stand up. I'd like your thoughts. I've shared mine. You can call 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, and we'll hear you on our talkback segment. I'd like to hear from you. Now let's hear the truth about ivermectin. Remember, here's a question. Should we hold all the editors, the managing editor, the editor-in-chief, all the department editors, and the journalists responsible for manslaughter and or preventable death because they all went against real science? It was there. We shared it from the very beginning. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, monoclonal antibodies, vitamin C, zinc, quercetin, and vitamin D3. All of that together was knocking out COVID in hours. If you got it in the first day, second day, you generally didn't have COVID in the third or fourth day. But even latecomers to the game were still able to have a substantial amount of their life changed if it was given while they were in hospital. But no, they only wanted one drug that was never properly tested on humans. It was tested on Ebola patients in Africa with a 54% death rate. Let me repeat that, 54% death rate. And yet not once were hospitals allowed to use any of the other natural or non-toxic treatments. And as a result, 90% of the people who died worldwide and in the United States could be alive today. What responsibility do the New York Times and especially people who are the avatars of the left over on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, for example, that have never apologized, have never quit, and said they should never again be listened to because of how wrong they've been on so many topics for so long? Your thoughts. Now listen to the truth about ivermectin.
Of all the harmful misinformation spread over the past couple of years, one of the most disturbing false narratives was targeted at the Nobel Prize-winning human medicine, ivermectin. What you're about to see will reveal the motive behind the smear campaign against one of the safest and most effective medicines of this era, a medicine that, according to the numerous top scientists I've interviewed this year, could have ended the pandemic before it began.
So things are clearly bad, but they're being made even worse by people who have refused to take the vaccine and instead are swallowing horse paste.
Horse dewormer.
There's no clinical evidence that indicates that this works.
It goes beyond that. We actually know that it doesn't work.
Ivermectin is ineffective against COVID,
but could put you in a coma.
It can kill you.
It can kill you.
Turns out I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it. All kinds of meds, monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin.
One of those drugs he mentioned, ivermectin, is something more often used to deworm horses.
We should talk about that.
That bothered you.
It should bother you, too. They're lying at your network about people taking human drugs versus drugs for veterinary.
Calling it a horse dewormer is not a flattering thing. I get
it's
that.
It's a lie.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You're the medical guy over there.
Ivermectin can be a very effective medication.
You are more likely to die from taking Tylenol than ivermectin, yet the FDA calls this a dangerous horse deworming medicine.
What initially led this was an FDA Twitter account that used the term y'all to express denigration of ivermectin as a horse drug. I have horses. The truth is that the dose that's used for horses by body weight is the same dose that's recommended for humans, but it's formulated and manufactured to a quality standard that's very different.
Lots of medicines are used in both animals and humans, so it's not a sufficient argument for somebody to say, it's a horse dewormer.
Yesterday, the CDC put out a national advisory on this, warning the whole country against taking this drug, ivermectin, formulated for horses and cows and sheep.
With that memo fired to every doctor, then suddenly me and all my early treatment colleagues around the country, we were faced with problems like we'd never had before.
I work as an emergency room doctor. And not only an emergency room doctor, I teach advanced trauma life support, a course to other doctors that want to work in the emergency room on how to stabilize patients. We were being told there's nothing you can do. Just wait for Fauci and the FDA to acknowledge a vaccine that they were going to create, and there's no treatment, they said. Why would you want to decrease access to quality life-saving measures for people who are fighting a worldwide pandemic?
So it was the first time in history that we ever saw a doctor who could be prosecuted for using a generic, safe and effective drug for the application that doctor thought was appropriate.
My group of five, the core five of us ICU doctors, collectively were some of the most highly published doctors in the history of critical care medicine. Paul Marek is the most published practicing intensivist in the world.
As we sit here today, I'm the most published person in my field in history. But when COVID-19 hit, my clinical and academic world was turned upside down.
Twitter, in its wisdom, has decided to suspend the account of Dr. Robert Malone. Now, Robert Malone happens to be the inventor of the mRNA technology of making vaccines. His Twitter account has been suspended because he was allegedly spreading misinformation on COVID-19 vaccines. Let that sink in.
We have made contributions to our field for
the clip, but I wanted you to at least hear that in this clip, they're showing you all the studies that we provided you. In fact, we were the only radio program or television program in the United States that gave you three separate lists on the peer review studies, the clinical studies, the number of scientists, the number of institutions, the number of patients, and the positive results. Nothing, not a single thing in all the world in medicine could top what these studies showed. So clear, unequivocal proof, clinical studies, peer review, PubMed, and they said Rachel Maddow, with this millions of dollars she's making, with the full team she has, couldn't she have sent one of her researchers to see whether or not there was any actual clinical studies on ivermectin? But none of them did. Why? Why not? And think of the consequences. It's a longer clip, and you can listen to the whole clip by going to PRN.live or GaryNall.com. Now, we'll see if we have any calls. I'm going to ask Rodney if we have calls. We'll be happy to hear what you have to say.
You actually have a caller, Diane from New Jersey.
Diane from New Jersey, your turn. You're on the air.
Just before I tell you what I want to tell you, I just thought of a really good joke that the government, like their motto, because of the calling ivermectin horse paste, it's just say nay. Oh, all right, whatever. That was a bad joke. Sorry. No, you know, I wanted to tell you, I happen to have to be in the hospital, nothing to do with COVID, nothing to do with my circulation or anything, but they were trying, everybody in the hospital had to get heparin, blood thinners injected into them, unless you were conscious and paid attention to everything, like, you know, paranoid like I was when I was there about everything they're doing to me. But they were giving that, which is a blood thinner, which is kind of like admitting about the clots, you know. I felt like that's why they were doing that to everybody, you know. I don't know, that's just my theory, but you know, you have to think of theories because nothing makes sense that's going on these days, you know.
Before you come to any decision, Diane, and everyone else, yep, step back a moment and take an honest look at what's occurring, and then ask yourself, which pieces of the puzzle would change my perception of what has happened if I knew the full story. Can anyone make a good quality freedom of choice, my body, my choice, which I support, if they don't have all the data? What if they left out of the data that you're feeling depressed? The only solution is to take Prozac, or, okay, we'll give you an alternative, Zoloft, or maybe one more, Paxil. And so you think, okay, I've been given three options. Now I know everything. No, you didn't know there were natural non-toxic ways of approaching depression, the St. John's wort, proper counseling, the tapping therapy, acupuncture. Yeah, all those help with depression. But you weren't told all the side effects. What if the number one side effect of an antidepressant was depression? What if one of the number one side effects of an antipsychotic medication was psychosis? But also with both of those, suicidal ideation, actual suicide, then what would be the likelihood if your doctor said, first and foremost, now by being depressed, that's bad, but being dead, that's worse. And the drug I'm about to tell you to take, with no other options, that could kill you, or it could cause you to kill yourself. How likely would you then say, okay, now that I have this information, I'm going to choose differently? So we tend to react rather than reason. We don't take that moment, step back, go to neutral in our judgment, just let go of ideology, let go of body politics, let go of anything that would preordain you not to use reason, and then say, what else do I need to know to make a proper decision about any choice I make in life? That's what's not being done at this time in anything. Well, I only knew to use this credit card. Okay, and how much interest are you paying on the credit card? Well, no, I saw Samuel Jackson say I get 2% back, and then someone else said 2% back. So I'm getting 2% back, and you're paying them 18%. So how does that enrich you when you're giving 16% more to them and 2% to yourself? You just keep buying, and you see all these people just smiling. I'm so happy I can buy all this stuff because I'm getting 2% back. You see the stupidity of it. Now, if you miss a payment or can only make a partial payment, it can go up to 30% interest. And what if you took out a payday loan and you were paying 500% to 1,000% interest, where a $500 couch that you bought using a payday loan because your credit wasn't good, now you've paid over the course of 3 years, you've paid back $3,000. Why don't they tell you that part of the downside of every choice you make? Is any university, Harvard, Yale, Duke, any of these with huge, huge balances in their bank accounts because of the donations, they have all these endowments, $40 billion, the case, I believe, of Harvard. What if they told you before you entered, first and foremost, we're going to charge you a lot of money because we want even more. We could allow every student in this university to go here for their whole college career for free. It wouldn't affect us at all financially. But you may end up with a career that there's no work for you once you get out, but you end up with debt you have to pay back that'll have compounding interest. You could get the same kind of quality education if you went to a state school, which would be a far less expensive. Is the average person going to go for that? The answer is no. Do more homework on every issue. Got to say goodbye to our WB audience who are going to go up to the news right now. We're going to continue to the end of the show at prn.live. And Rodney, let me know when we have, and thank you, Diane, let me know when we have another person up.
E from but Edgewater is the next caller, Gary.
Who from Edgewater?
E,
hold on. We're going to come to you in Edgewater in just a moment. But I want to mention tomorrow's show on WBAI and on PRN, we're going to have two of the most unique individuals you've ever heard because they're both survivors of psychiatric abuse in the over-drugging, over-diagnosing, wrong-diagnosing, wrong drugs, institutionalization, but they got their lives back. And none of the psychiatrists, none of the institutions wanted to know how they did it. It was natural and non-toxic. It's going to be a compelling hour tomorrow that you won't want to miss. That's our show for tomorrow. But now I want to give you a a good special, which I haven't been able to do, and then I'll take that one call. This is the special for today. And all of our specials are good for 3 days because a lot of people download the show at night. This is called the Digestive Health Special. And I don't create my own specials. I create the products, but I don't create the specials because I want people from the audience to call in and tell us what specials are important to them. I had a whole meeting this morning with our production staff, and I said, remember, what I want to do as a show is not important. What the audience tell you they need, that's who we honor. That's how we do the shows we do. And a lot of people have digestive problems for a lot of different reasons. Improper food combining, lack of hydrochloric acid, stress creating digestive imbalances, a lack of probiotics. So this is a digestive health special. We're going to give you digestive stuff, big can, 480 grams. We're giving you Supremacy Extra, the highest potency therapeutic benefits I can find, plus a really good documentary, award-winning documentary called How to Add Healthy Years Onto Your Life. All of this should cost you $229.97. It's only costing you $99. You're saving $130. You're saving 60% off. Now, what's in the digestive stuff that would make it unique? Or that, you know, you could say, yeah, I could go with that. Well, you're getting some of the best nutrients specific for digestion, including bananas, apples, pineapples, papaya, bromelain. You're getting cellulose, amylase, protease, lipase. Those are all enzymes that protect you and help facilitate digestion. You're getting Bacillus subtilis, 10 billion, I repeat, 10 billion probiotics per serving. Oh, and let me throw in some organic ginger root, organic cinnamon bark, organic aloe vera leaf, organic marshmallow root, anise seed, fennel seed, slippery elm bark, and with some stevia. Wow. 13 grams of fiber per serving. And this is called digestive stuff. And I believe digestive stuff helps everybody. If you don't have a digestive problem at all, then use it for a month on, month off. If you have a digestive problem, see if this does make a difference. And after you watch the video, it's going to give you a whole different perspective on how to age. In fact, in Sunday's state a championship in Florida that I raced in, they had all age groups. And I met a man that I first met 35 years ago. And if you didn't know that he was 66, his body looks 20. He is ripped. He's a world-class cyclist. And now he's doing a race. He did terrific. But a man that really influences older people, he is 90, and he was out there just clipping around the race. He did the 3,000-meter race. Great health. Nothing wrong with him. He says, Gary, I follow your information, got your books. Good for you. I'm sorry I didn't have some books to give as a gift. But I met people of all ages, teenagers. And all of us have to understand that we're all going to get older, but some of us much slower than our counterparts. So you have a lot of control over the aging and the diseases that affect aging. And here you're getting a video, how to add healthy years to your life. You're getting a 60% discount. So call this number now. This is good for just 3 days. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065, or call Neil in the Vitamin Closet at 646-926-5430. He's there Monday to Saturday. People go down and visit him, too. He's got this whole following down there. It's kind of funny. But he's got a lot of good insights he offers people, too, and he's a very kind and thoughtful person. He's been with me a long time. He runs our Vitamin Closet. 646-926-5430. Thank you very much for your call, and thank all of you for listening. I look forward to sharing more on tomorrow's program. Have a nice day, everyone.